Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on Yud Chet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Hashanim b'nidar ketzad. If you remember in the first Mishnah, in the Perek gave Haseg Yad b'noder, v'hashanim b'nidar. So now the Hashanim b'nidar, the Mishnah is now going to explain to us, how does that manifest itself? Ketzad. Yeled sheherich zakein. If a young one or a young person was marich, assessed a zakein, the object of his, arachin was a zakein, notein erich zakein. Then it's dependent on the object, not on the noder. V'zakein shehirich et hayeled. On the other hand, if someone who was older, his neder arachim was about someone who was younger, the object of his neder arachim was someone younger, notein erech yeled. It gives the erech of the young person. The next line in the Mishnah was, harachim ben erach, that the arachim are assessed based on the object of the neder arachim. Ketzad, what's the case there? Ish shehirich isha, notein erech isha. Man who obligates himself to bring the erech of a woman, then the tables are looked up, or the charts are looked up based on the woman's prices. Bisha sheiricha ish, and the other way around, the woman who donates the erech of an individual, a man, an object of her neder achin was a man, notenet erech ish. She pays based on the schedule for a male. Va'erech bezman erech, and the next piece in the Mishnah says that the erech is determined by the time that you take the neder arachin. Ketzad, heirichu pachot mi ben chamesh. He said he took the neder arachin when he was less than 5 years old. Benaseyet era ben chamesh. And then he was older than 5 when he came to pay for it. Pachot mi ben asrim. Or he was younger than 20 when he took the neder arachin. Benaseyet era ben asrim. And then he became older than 20. Notain, kizman ha'erach. Give it based on the time that he took the neder arachin, not based on the time that you come to pay for the neder arachin. Tarabanan. Atai kshita damim larachin. We had a hekesh between damim and arachin. Again, we've explained before the difference between damim and arachin. Arachin means you take a neder to follow the tables in the Torah and Vayikrach of Zayin that are determined by gender and age. Damim means that you're going to pay the true value of the individual. You donate the true value of the individual to the Mikdash. So we saw in the first parak that there was a hekesh between damim l'arachin, because it says in the pasuk, neder erkecha. So we saw a hekesh between neder and erkecha. That was for margalit l'kalim, v'lidon bichvodo. That was to teach us, just like by arachin, this is true, so too is it true by damim, by a neder. Lidon bichvodo, you remember, was is that if you donate an aver, a limb that is life dependent of the individual, it spreads to the entire individual. And so to over here, if you give the erech of a particular limb, then it's as if you had said you're going to give erech of that entire person, and so too by damim. By the payment of a neder, if you donate the value of a life-dependent limb, that it's as if you donated the entirety of the individual to Berek HaBayit, you have to pay for the entirety of the individual. That's likdon bichvodo. Margalit likalim is a din that we actually haven't done yet. It's going to be coming up in the Gemara, and that is if someone has a diamond, a precious stone, and he is a poor individual. And if we assess the diamond or the precious stone right now, it has a certain value. If that person was to take the diamond, precious stone, to the city, or he was to wait till the Yom HaShuk, it would be worth more money. So now when we assess the net worth of this individual and his ability to pay, do we assess it based on the current value of the diamond or precious stone? Or do we assess it based on his ability to sell it at higher rates at a different time or in a different location? Do we take into account that fact? So the Gemara on Daf Chaf Daled tells us, because it says
in the parsha of Makdish Stemikne, V'natan et erkecha b'yomahu. So over there it specifies that you give the erech based on b'yomahu, the here and now.
So the Kohen who comes to be Marichim, when the Kohen is there, where he is, time, location, that's it. We don't ask him what the value is in another place, at another time. We say, right now, right here, what's the value of that Margalit, based on the Psukim, by Arachin. We extend that to Damim as well. The ability to pay Damim, or the demand to pay Damim, will be assessed based on the value of that precious stone or that diamond right now, not if you could hold on to it or sell it at a better place or a time. Because in Hekdesh, as Rashi says, Ela Mikomo Vishato. Hekdesh is only entitled to the here and now. We don't look at future value. We don't look at possibilities. We look at the here and now, and that's what Hekdesh is entitled to. So too, just like we say that's true by Arachin, we say that's true by Nidarim. So those are two dinim that apply by Rachin that we draw over to Nedarim or Damim because of the hekesh between Neder Erkecha. So the Gemara says, Yochol, Akish Erachin LeDamim. Maybe it's a two-way street. Maybe Erachin should also learn out from Damim. Shitein Keshat Nitina. Just like by Damim, where you give it based on not the value of the individual when you took the Neder, but the value of the individual when you come to assess the value, when you come to pay for it, that's when you make the assessment. I would thought maybe by Erachin it should be the same thing. It should be determined not by when you took the Neder Erachin, but it should be determined by when you come to pay for the Neder Erachin. And how do you know by a Neder that you pay based on the time that you come to pay for it and not the time that you took the Neder? Rashi says it's Svorahu. It's Pshito because if a person took a Neder in Tishrei and then shows up to us in Nisan and says, I want to pay for this Neder, we have to assess that individual. But how do you assess the value of the individual? How much would they be worth if they were sold in the slave shuk? So fine, we can do that for right now. But if you're telling us that we'd have to go back to Tishrei and try to determine the value back in Tishrei, we can't do that. We can't go back in time and assess the value. So Rashi says that it's just a logical, practical issue because there's no way to assess an individual back in time. You can only assess an individual in the here and now. And therefore, that's how we know it's Pashut. Tosafot quotes this and he says he's not sure that that's so true. Why is it so true that it's logical that you would do that? It's not necessarily true. Could be that he was worth more beforehand, so why should Hekvesh lose out because of that? He's not sure where the logic stems from. Therefore, he says there must be some limud somewhere. There must be some pasuk they learn it from. We don't have that information, but they learn it out from somewhere. So we would think to apply that from Nidarim Damim to Arachin, Tamalomar, Kerkachoyakum. So that pasuk is actually not found by Parshat Arachim, but rather it's found by the Parsha of Makdish Steachuza. Found by the Parsha of Makdish Steachuza, and says there, Im Mishnata Yovel Yakdish Tadeu, Kerkachoyakum. So therefore the Gemara learns out from that, Kerkachoyakum, Enu Otein El Gzman Erech. Kerkachoyakum means at that moment. It'll be omeid, right then and there, on the time of the erech, that's when you make the determination. Therefore we use Veikrach of Zayin, because it uses the term erkach over there. We'll assume that all arachim are the same, that it's yakum. At the moment that you take the neder arachin, at that moment is when the assessment is done, not later when you come to pay for it. Einoten el bezman ha'erach. Therefore you only have to give it at the time you take the neder arachin. The next Mishnah. Yom shiloshim kilamata heimena. The 30th day is like the day before. Arachim start, the tables of Arachim start from 30 days old. 30 days to 5 years is the first grouping that you have. A baby that is 30 days old is considered as if they were 29. The 30 day period only starts from day 31. Shnat Chamesh v'shnat Esrim kilamata. The same thing with a 5-year-old. There's from 30 days until 5, and then 5 until 20. Which side is 5 in? Is 5 in the 5 to 20 group, or is it in the 30 days to 5 group? The Mishnah here again says, Shnat Chamesh is ke lamata mehem. 5 goes with the lower group. Shnat Esrim, 20, also goes with the group below. So you have a grouping from 5 to 20, and then you have from 20 to 60. So where does the 20 fit in? Is it part of the 20 to 60 group, or is it from the 5 to 20? Again, the Mishnah says it's in the 5 to 20 group. It goes with kilamata emenu. Shinemar, because it says by shishim, imi ben shishim shana vamala. So there is a grouping from 20 to 60, and then 60 and above. So imi ben shishim shana vamala, that's how the pasuk writes it. Hare anu lemidim b'kulan, mishnat shishim. We learn out for everything else from shnat shishim. Ma shnat shishim kilamata emenu. Just like Shnat Shishim is like 20 to 60 and not above it, Av Shnat Chamesh Shnat Shishim Kilamata Emenu Hein. They are also considered to be below, I mean that they'll be in the 5 to 20 group and not in the 20 to 60. And so too with the 30 days to 5 will be in that grouping, not in the 5 to 20 grouping. The Gemara learns it out. We've seen this before in Bechorot, because it says, V'im Ben Shishim Shana Vamala. We would have thought that means, Ben Shishim means 60, Vamala means above 60. So it means that 60 is like it's above 60. But the Gemara reads this, and it didn't before it as well, to mean, im ben shishim shana v'malo, means that that's the v'malo is telling you when you are chayav. It's shishim shana v'malo. That's when the first time you're chayav. It's one phrase. It's a noun phrase of shishim shana v'malo. But not 60 and above. Above 60 is the way to translate it. We always would translate it as 60 and above. They're translating it as above 60. So that's how they translate shishim shana v'malo, and therefore they apply it to everything. They say, by 20, it's only above 20. By 5, it's only above 5. mean that every grouping is really associated with the one below. So 20 is associated with the 5 to 20. 5 is associated with the 30 days to 5. And 30 days itself will be outside the Parsha of Arachim because you haven't reached the schedule of payments yet.
What's stopping us? 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Mishnah reads that when after your 19th birthday, you have lived a full 19 years, and now you've entered the 20th year of your life. When you turn 20, you've completed the 20th year of your life. So when you turn 20, what the Gemara is saying is, on the day that, it sounds like from here, that on the day that you turn 20, you're still considered to be below 20. 20 years in one day, you're considered to be above 20.
When you're saying it, I understood it the other way. Sense, this one makes sense. I think you were saying that for your whole 20th year, you're not included.
Right, but the 20th year is really from 19 in one day to 20. That is your 20th year of life. It's a misnomer. 20 is not the, when you start your 20th year, it's when you complete your 20th year of life. So therefore, 19 years in one day to 20 is considered 20. From here, if it sounds like that whole 20th year will be considered as if you are below, plus, seems, it's not clear from the Mishnah, but it seems that your birthday also, your 20th birthday, will also be considered below. So now, the Mishnah says, is that really a good limud? If you considered 60 to be below 60, then it's a chumrah. Because then you're in the category of 20 to 60, which is a higher arachin, but then 60 and above, which is a lower arachin. So now it's a shnat chamesh, shnat esrim kilamatim menel hakel. Then you're going to apply it to chamesh and esrim that you make it the kula. Because when you say he's in the 5 to 20 range and not the 20 to 60 range, that's a kula. If you say he's in the 30 day to 5 year range instead of the 5 to 20 range, that's also a kula. You pay less in all those cases. So who says you can extrapolate the din that you have by shishim, which is a chumrah, to the din of esrim and chamesh and have it have the same din, which is the kula? That's what it means. Tamalomar, shana, shana, l'gzeiro shavo. That it says, shana, shana for gzeiro shavo. Ma shana amura bishnat shishim kilemata. Just like the word shana, when it's used with shishim, means 60 and below. And av shana amura bishnat chamesh bishnat esrim kilemata menu ben hakel ben lachmir. We do not consider whether it's l'kula or l'chumra because we're using gzeiro shavo of shana, shana. And based on that, we would suggest that the chamesh and esrim have the same din as shishim, even though they turn out to be the kula and shishim is the chumra. Elazar omer ad shehei yeterot al shanim chodesh v'yom echad. Elazar says that not only do you have to wait a day after the 20 years in one day, you have to wait 20 years and 31 days. It's not enough to be 20 in one day, it has to be 20 and 31 days, and we'll see why in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Mufne. This Gzer Shava of Shana Shana has to be an open Gzer Shava. I mean, the words have to be extraneous, therefore they can defy logic, because the Lo Mufne, it was not that they were extraneous words. You could ask a logical argument against it, like we say in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah did ask that question. So therefore it says, Shana Shana Yitere Ktive, that the Shana Shana must be extraneous in order that we have this limud. Now, if you look at the psukim, I would tell you one thing. Rashi reads it a different way. I'll read you a pasuk. For instance, it says, "Mi ben esrim shana v'ad ben shishim shana." So both times they modify the age twice. It says, "Mi ben esrim shana v'ad ben shishim shana." One of those shana is unnecessary. I would have read it that the first one is unnecessary because what you would write was "Mi ben esrim v'ad ben shishim shana." You would read it from 20 and 6 till 60 years, and you have the shana at the end modifying both the esrim and the shishim. So the first shana would be extraneous, the way I'm reading it. Rashi reads it the other way around, that the second shana is unnecessary. Because you could have read, mi ben esrim shana, vad bishishim. And of course you would know that the shishim is talking about shana, because esrim is already modified by shana. So Rashi says that the second one is extraneous. The way I explained it originally is that the first one is extraneous. Either way, you do not need the word shana to appear by both ages in a series. When you say 20 to 60, you don't have to say 20 years until 60 years. You can either say 20 years until 60, or 20 until 60 years. Either way, you have an extra shana there. That extra shana is what this Gzeir Sheva does to override the logical argument to say that 5 and 20 should be different than 60. Now, Matnita de Loka Rabbi. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi. D. Rabbi. If it is authored by Rabbi, Hamar, Ad V'Ad Bichlal. Rabbi has a principle that when you have until something, it doesn't mean until and not including, it means until and including. Tanya, Yom Rishon Vad Yom Shvi'i, when it talks about Pesach, it says it's from the first day until the seventh day. We just read it in last week's parsha. Yochol Rishon Velo Rishon Bichlal. I would think what it means from the first day means the first day, but not including the first day. Shvi'i Velo Shvi'i Bichlal. Until the seventh day, meaning until the seventh day, not including the seventh day. That the pasuk when it says from the first till the seventh means from the second till the sixth day. The second to the sixth day we included, but the first and seventh would not be included. Kinyan Shneamar, because we have a similar thing by Nigayim, mi Rosho v'yad raglov. If I'm his head until his toes, Rosho v'lo Rosho bichlal. We say from his head until his toes, we say that means his head, not including his head. Raglav, v'lo raglav bichlal. His head until his toes means everything in between his head and his toes, not including his head and his toes. Tamar Lomar, Pasuk tells us, again, ad yom ha'echad v'esrim l'chodesh. It gives you the date by Erev. So then you can't deny that the 7th includes the 7th, because it's saying from the 15th until the 21st. 15th is the first day, the 21st is the 7th day. Therefore, when it says 1 until 7, it means including the first day and including the 7th day. Rabbi Omar, ain't it tzarich? You don't need a pasuk. Rishon, v'rishon bichlal. Shvi, v'shvi bichlal. That's logical. When I say from the 1st until the 7th, it means ad v'ad bichlal. It means the 1st including the 1st, the 7th including the 7th. So therefore, he cannot be the author of our Mishnah. Author of our Mishnah, we said until 5 until 20, and then we said 20 until 60. Rabbi would say 20 until 60 means that the 20 is included in the range of 20 to 60. If I say 5 until 20, it would suggest that the 5 is included in the range of 5 to 20, not in the 30 day to 5 year range. Our Mishnah says the opposite, that the 5 is included in the one below, the 20 is included in the one below. So therefore, Rabbi can't be the author of our Mishnah. It says, Afilu Teima Rabbi. You could even have Rabbi be the author of the Mishnah. Shkule Mishkale Krai. Because that the Torah or the Psukim even them out. Let's go see what it says. Miben Chodesh Vaben Chamesh Shanim. It says from 1 month until 5 years. V'tu. And then the next of the Arachim is Miben Chamesh Ad Ben Chav. From 5 years until 20. So Lamali, what do I need that for? Meaning that you say 30 days until 5 until 20. Well, it's ambiguous. Where does the 5 go? If you say, Advad Bichlal, in both cases, you would include the 5. From 30 days to 5, you would include the 5 in the below. 5 until 20, you'd include the 5 in the above. So logically, even according to Rabbi, you can't argue where the 5 belongs, because the 5 is included in both pieces. Same thing with the 20. 5 until 20, 20 until 60. Where does the 20 belong? It's equally plausible that the 5 belongs to below or above, or that 20 belongs to below and above. Hilkach is to kluluhu. Since it's even, there we need the limud of the Mishnah in order to teach us that even according to Rabbi. Amar Mar. So we go back to that statement from Nigayim. But Nigayim we say, Rosho velo Rosho bichlal, Raglav velo Raglav bichlal. From the head until toe, but not including the head and not including the toes. Minolan. How do you know that's true? By Nigayim. Ibai deimash shiny simanim de gufo mi simanim de Rosho. The reason is because in the Parsha of Nigayim, the hair on the top of the head has a different series or different set of simanim requirements to become tamei or tahor than does the simanei aguf, a nega or a tzarat that comes on the guf of the individual. So they're really designated already by Parshat Nigayim as two separate areas, the rosh, and then below the guf. You have the zakan and the rosh, which is the hair. Those areas have different simanim, and then you have the body itself, which has a different set of simanim. So the Torah already separated them out. So when it means rosh ad raglav, it obviously means excluding the rosh. V'ibay deima. Others say the chol marei enei akohen. That the negayim can only be the chol marei akohen, what he can see. Well, he can't see what's on your head, not because he's not necessarily tall enough, but because you have hair on your head. If you have hair on your head, then you can't see what's below the hair. Your toes. You can't see what's in between your toes. Since you can't see what's in between your toes, that won't be included. Rosho v'yad raglav is excluding his toes, excluding his head, because those two items are not things that can qualify l'chol marei enei hakohen. What we're saying over there is that by Nigayim, it's an exception. It's an exception to the rule, either because the Torah separated out those areas, or because of the pasuk l'chol marei enei hakohen, but everywhere else we would say, ad v'ad bichlal, at least according to Rabbi. Whereas for the Tanakama, it would be a paradigm. Tzarat becomes a paradigm, and therefore I need a pasuk to tell me otherwise by Psachim. One just interesting note here is, the Gemara's Havamina, that you would only have a Yom Rishon at Yom HaShvi would be from the second until the sixth day. The Tosafot, the bottom Tosafot on the previous Amud asks, says, Im Tomar, hey, Achav Shara Lamarkein, how could you have it be that it was from the second until the sixth day? V'aktiv, Shivat Yamim, Tochal Matzot. How could it be that Pesach was only from the second to the sixth, meaning you're only Asur B'Chametz from two until six? But matzah, you're going to eat from 7 days, 1 till 7. So you're going to eat matzah 1 to 7, and you're going to have chametz only be asur from 2 until 6. So yesh lomar deli chiyuv karet kamar. It's just saying for the chiyuv karet, meaning that chametz will only be chayav karet from the 2nd day until the 6th day. On the 1st day and the 7th day, you will be restricted from eating chametz, but only in Isur lav, not in Isur karet. So that's the answer Tosafot gives, is that it would be a differentiation in the punishment. He agrees that it has to be that the chametz is asur on the 1st and 7th day. Because otherwise, how can you be chayav in matzah? That's something we see in the Gemara and Pesachim many times, the correlation between chametz and matzah. Matzah is only an obligation at a time when chametz is asur. Can't have it be that you're chayav in matzah at a point when you're not chayav be'chametz. So Tosafot takes that to the end here, and he says that it can't be that you chayav to eat matzah on the 1st and 7th day without having an Isur chametz. So he says, what do we do with this? We'd have to say the hava minu was from the 2nd to the 6th day is chiyuv karet. The 1st and the 7th day would have a chiyuv lav. Now, the truth is we do have one paradigm of chametz and matzah being together, and that is Pesach Sheni. At Pesach Sheni, you eat chametz and matzah. Ito bavai. You can have both of them together, no problem. So we do have such a paradigm by Pesach Sheni. So maybe you could say even on the 1st and 7th day that you'd have chametz and matzah yitol babayit. You could have both of them together. Although Tosafot is unwilling to have that be true. All right, next part of the Gemara. Lozer mer adju yiterot l'shanim chodesh v'yom echad, to be a month and a day above that age. So now Tanya, Rabbi Lozer mer nemar kan l'malo v'nemar l'halan chodesh umalo. It says here b'malo ben shishim shana b'malo, and it says by the counting of the v'im that it's chodesh umalo. From a month and above, to suppose that a girs over here, mi uftuyav mi ben chodesh l'malo, that it was referring to pidyon ben, although there is no such pasuk like that, and Tosafot notes that there is no such pasuk, and then he tries to read it in without the word umalo. But if you use b'chodesh umalo by the Levim, which is the girs that we have and Rashi has, then you have the word malo by both of them. Malo halan mi ben chodesh v'yom echad. When it comes to counting from the 30 days and up, we say that it means not the 30th day, but the 31st day. Means 30 days plus one. You don't become qualified to be counted. You don't become qualified for Pidyon HaBechor until the 31st day. Afghan, so to over here, Chodesh V'yom Echad. It should be a month and 1 day. Ve'ema ki hatam. This is similar to your question, Svi, like we did before. Ma hatam chad yoma. 30 days is the number, and then we add a day onto it. We say 30 days, and then the next day is when you become qualified on the 31st day. So say the same thing here. It's 60 years, and then on the next day you become qualified. So why are you saying that it's 60 years and then 31 days? Why are you adding on 31? So he says, I'll tell you why. Ma'atam chadyom avkan chadyom yinkein gzer shava mahani. What did the gzer shava do from you? The Chachamim, the Tanakamo in our Mishnah already says that Ben Shishim Shana Umalo teaches you it's not the 60th year, but it's above 60. 60 in 1 day. That you already know from Shishim Umalo. What does the gzer shava do then? The gzer shava is going to teach you 1 day. I don't need the gzer shava. Must be that Gzeres Shavah is coming to add more than a day, and that is mi ben chodesh, a month plus a day. It's coming to add 31 days. And that's what the Gzeres Shavah does, is that it says that not only do you have to add on a day above the year that you reach, but you have to add on 31 days above before you become. So that means that a person, according to the Tanakhama, who's 20 years and 1 day, they're qualified for the 20 to 60 range. But the Belazar, it would be that you'd have to be 20 years and 31 days before you qualify to be in the grouping of 20 to 60. Because had you not had the Gzer Shavah, and you just had the word, Ben Shishim Shana Umalo, you would have thought it meant 20 years in 1 day. That's exactly what the Chachamim went out of that limud. So now I have a Gzer Shavah. The Gzer Shavah's got to add something beyond what I would have known from the Pashtuta Pasuk. What is it? It must be that it's the 30 days, because it there it says me Ben Chodesh. So Ben Chodesh, and then plus a day. So no, Malo Malo. From Shishim Shana Malo to Chodesh Umalo. So that'll teach us that it'll be 31 days, 30 days more above the reaching the threshold of a year. Now you can understand it. Again, we know that mixas hashana kishana, part of a year is considered a full year. How much is that? That's 30 days into the year. So if you want to say before, when you asked me in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says it has to be above 20, what does that mean that it has to be above 20? Here you see clearly that the Gemara believes above 20 means 1 day above 20. 20 years in 1 day, you're already considered to be above 20. But maybe Rabbi Elazar really believes you need to be 21. You need a full year. But we don't demand the whole year from you. We down 30 days in a year. So once I get over the 30-day threshold, it's as if now I'm 21. It's as if I'm fully through the year of the 21. So it's 20 years and 31 days, because now once I've crossed 20 years and 30 days, I'm already considered to be 21. So it's above 20. So it might be exactly that issue that they're discussing, how you get to above 20. Does above 20 mean 20? Does above 20 mean 21? Which is that Rabbi Lazar can get to 21 by using Mikzvah Shana to Shana. Yes. Once you know it by Shishim Olam Allah, then you have Shana Shana, and then you would include it by 20 and 5 as well. We already have another Gzer Shava, which is that Shana Shana teaches you anything by 60 will also apply by 5 and 20. So he would not just say by Shishim, he would say it by 5 and 20 as well. Tara Rabbanan. Shana Hamura B'Kodoshim. The year that is said by Kodoshim. Shana Hamura B'Batei Arei Choma. The year that is written by houses in a walled city. Shtei Shanim Shemstei Achuza. 2 years that's written by a field that you own. Shtei Shanim Sheevet Ivri. The 6 years by an Evet Ivri. V'chein Shebebein V'Shabbat, which is unclear what that means. We'll see in a second. Also by girls and boys. Kulan Mi'et Le'et. They all are counted from the day that you are born until that point in time. So let's discuss each one of them. The Shana Amura B'Kodeshim is a requirement that certain Karbanot come mi ben Shana. They have to be in their first year of life. Or ben Shtei Shanim. You have Karbanot that have requirements of how old the animal is. The age of the animal is determined by the day it was born, not by the Shnot HaOlam. Shnot HaOlam would mean that every time when you cross over Tishrei, automatically there will be the completion of a year and the start of a new year. For instance, we do that by kings. When we count the years of a king's reign, we don't say from the day that he came to the throne, we start counting his years. We say, no, the day that he came to the throne, that's his first year. As soon as he crosses over Tishrei for a non-Jewish king, or Nisan for a Jewish king, his begins his second year of his reign. Even if he came to the throne a month before that, he's already beginning his second year once he crosses over Tishrei or Nisan. So you would think maybe the same thing is true here, by Kodashim. How old is the animal? Well, depends. Once it crosses over Tishrei, it's in its second year. Before Tishrei, it's in its first year. Along comes this, bright, and says, no. Kodashim Shana is determined by the day of birth, from year 8 to 8, from day to day. That is the gaze that is considered for a year. We saw this earlier about the Korban of Pesach. That it was made late, that you could have it, that you shechted it when it was 1 year old, but it didn't get onto the Mizbeach until it was older than 1 year old. Because when we say made late, we mean literally made late from minute to minute, hour to hour, exactly the day and time he was born. Number two is by Batei Arei Chumah. But Batei Arei Chumah, someone who sells a house within a walled city, they have 1 year to redeem the house. They're allowed to buy it back within that first year. If they do not buy it back within the first year, the sale becomes permanent, and you can never get out of it. It doesn't come back in the Ovel. It's done. It's a permanent sale. So that's that 1 year for Batei Arei Chumah is not determined by the, again, Tishrei, determined by the day of the sale. 1 year from the day of the sale. Shtei Shanim Shtei Achuzah is that when you sell a field, we saw this again earlier here in Erachim, when you sell a field, it comes back in the Yovel. You're allowed to redeem it after you sell it until the Yovel. You divide up the amount of money you paid for it, but the year is remaining until the Yovel, and that's the value of each year. So you can redeem it afterwards by just subtracting the number of years he's had it, and then remaining number of years to the Yovel. But the Torah says that you have to leave it in the hands of the buyer for a minimum of 2 years. You're not allowed to redeem it within the first 2 years. That minimum of 2 years, again, is determined by the date of the sale, not by Tishrei. Again, eight late. Next, Shei Shanim Shevet Ivri. An Evet Ivri works for his master for 6 years and goes free in the seventh year. Those 6 years are determined by the date that he became an Evet Ivri, not by the Shemitah cycle, or not by the 7 years of Yemot Olam. It's not based on Tishrei. That when he reaches his seventh year based on Tishrei, doesn't mean, no, it means from the day that he became an Evet Ivri. Chen Shevein Bevat, by youngsters as well, that the Gemara will discuss what that's about. Kulan Mi'et Le'et. All of them run Mi'et Le'et from moment to moment. Meaning you calculate exactly a year from that moment that they were born, from the moment that the sale took place, until the required or requisite time that it has. Nothing to do with the years, nothing to do with Tishrei as being a threshold. Shana Amura B'Kodeshim Minyolon. How do we know that the Shana B'Kodeshim is literally based on the birth of the animal, not on the Yemot Olam, not based on Tishrei? Amura B'Acha B'Yakov Amarkra, Keves Ben Shnato. Shnato in the possessive form. Shnato Shelo V'Lo Shel Minyan Olam. It's based on his years, not on the years of the world, not based on the calendrical year based on Tishrei, but rather on his birth date. I would just note this, that the Brita says Me'et Le'et. Me'et Le'et means not only from day to day, it means from hour to hour, in the exact time they're born until later. From the Pesukim, you can only prove that Ben Shnato means Shnato Shelo. All you can prove is that it has to be 1 year from the time he's born. That means by the days. Could mean that from the day he's born to the day afterwards. It doesn't mean that it's exactly the hours. So I'm not sure. The Gemara assumes that what it means, Ben Shnato, means exactly from Me'ileit, not just on that day, till the next time you come around, like we do, for instance, by children, by bar mitzvah. We don't demand that they go back to the exact same time they were born. We say that Mitzvah Yom Kula, once they reach the day that they were born in, we assume that they are bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, because of Mitzvah Yom Kula. We don't demand that they go back to the exact hour that they were born. And again, from the psukim, you can't prove that. All it says here is Ben Shnato, it's his year. His year can be determined by days, it doesn't have to be hours. But that's not what the Braita says. Next. The year by Batei Atom Shnat Memkaro. Again, written in the possessive form. At the end of the year from the sale. Memkaro is Memkaro Shelo, or Memkar Shelo. From the moment of his sale, not from the Yemot Olam. Lo Shana, the Minyan Olam. The 2 year minimum that you have to leave it with the buyer by Stei Achuza, Dichtiv. Because the Pasuk says, Bimispar Shnei Tvot Im Karloch. It says in the Pasuk, I'll read it to you, it's a Vayikra Perek of Hei, Pasuk Tedva, Bimispar Shnei Machar Yovel Tikne Meit Amitecha. Based on the number of years after the Yovel, as well as the number of years till the next Yovel, you'll buy it. Bimispar Shnei Tvot Im Karloch. He'll sell it to you based on the number of harvests that are left. The fee, Rova Shanim Tarbe Miknato. Basically, if there's more years left, then you'll pay more. Fimota shanim tamit miknato. If there are less years left, you'll pay less. It's a leasehold. You're getting a leasehold until the yovel. You pay more if the leasehold is longer. You pay less if the leasehold is shorter. Ki mispar tvot humocher lach. Because he's selling you not the field. He's selling you a leasehold to use the field. He's selling you the output of the field. Because in the end, you're not going to own the field. It's going back to him in the yovel. So the field is not yours. So what are you really buying? You're really buying the utility of the field, the output of the field. So therefore, you determine the price based on how many outputs there are. So now, the Gemara dives into Bisbar, Shnei Tvot Im Karloch, Pamim Shadam Ochel Shlosh Tvot B'Shnei Shanim. Sometimes a person eats 3 Tvot over 2 years. How does that work? So Rashi claims that the Pasuk says, Bisbar Shnei Im Karloch. You don't need the word Tvot there. Bimispar Shnei means that there'll be two, at least two, because you know what you're buying the field for. You're buying the field for its output. So of course it means Shnei Tvot. So why do you need the word Tvot? So it must be Mispar Shnei. Tvot adds another one, so you have 3. So there's a possibility sometimes over 2 year period that you could eat 3 Tvot. The only way for that to be possible is if we determine the years based on the sale point, not based on the Yemot Olam. So that, for instance, if you bought the field, you bought the leasehold in Nisan, right around the harvest, it's laden. The field's laden when you buy it. So you could take the field and then you harvest it right away. Then you have it for 2 years more. 2 years more, 1 year later, you harvest again. Another year later, you're coming into Nisan, it could harvest. You harvest it before you give it back to him. That gives you 3 harvests before you give it back. That only works if it's based on the date of sale. But if it's based on Tishrei, you'll never have that. It'll always end in Tishrei. You buy it in Nisan, so you gotta harvest then. Tishrei, you're ready for your first year. Second year, Nisan again, you get your second harvest. By the time you reach Tishrei, at the end of that year, you're done and there's no third harvest. The only way to have a possibility of 3 harvests is if it's based on the time period when the sale was done, exactly from the sale was done 2 years, not based on Minyan Yemot HaOlam. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot takes issue with that limit of Shnei Tvuot. He doesn't think that's right. But rather, it says in the next pasuk, which I read you also, it says, Ki Mispar Tvuot Hu Mocher Lach. And he's telling you Mispar Tvuot. Mispar sounds like a number of Tvuot. Not just Tvuot Hu Mocher Lach. Tvuot is 4 already. Mispar Tvuot sounds like it's more than 2. More than 2 would be 3. So how do you get 3 Tvuot? You're going to get 3 Tvuot if you hold it over a period of 2 years that is not absolutely directed by Tishrei. It has to be that it's basically in Nisan, and that would mean that it's not being counted according to the Yemot HaOlam. Sheish Shiva'ebed Ivri, Dichtiv, Sheish Anim Yavot, Uv Ashvit, Yetzei Chofshi Chinam, that he'll work 7 6 years, and then in the 7th year he'll go free. Zimnin de Bishvit Nami Yavot. There's sometimes that in the 7th year he will work. So here it says, Sheish Anim Yavot, Uv Ashvit. Sometime in the 7th year he'll go free. So what do you mean he'll work in the 7th year? Well, you can only work in the 7th year if you actually are counting based on the years from the time that he became an Eved Ivri. It's always based on the Yemot HaOlam. You'll never get into a 7th year because Tishrei will come and that'll terminate the Abdut. The Sheish Shanim, it'll be less than 6 years. By the time you get to Shvi'it, it's the start of that Tishrei. You'll never get into the 7th year. The other way to get into the 7th year is if it's based on your count versus the count of the Olam. Minyan Yemot HaOlam, he's already in his 7th year. For you, he's still in his 6th year. So that's how you have it come in, that sometimes he works during the 7th year. 7th year based on the calendrical year, but not based on your counting from the moment that he became an Eved Ivri. V'shaven u'shabat kulam late late. And this is the last line of that Mishnah. Was for youngsters, it's the same thing. L'may hilchata. What does it mean for ben and bat? Amar Rav Gidol Marav l'arachin. Rav says it belongs here for this arachin, our parsha of arachin over here. That ben and bat are determined late late. The age of the individual that we're talking about is determined not by Tishrei, but the age is determined by their birthday. So that's what it's talking about over here, arachin. Yosef Amar, the Pirkin de Yotzei Dofen. It's a very funny expression here. Pirkin means from Perek Yotzei Dofen in the Gemara Nida. The Gemara Nida, Perek Yotzei Dofen, over there, it discusses the maturity of an individual, of a child. When they reach 12 or 13 for the bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah, as well as for Nidarim, when do they become of age? 11 and 12. 11 for a girl, 12 for a boy, for Nidarim, if they know who they're taking the nether for. So all of those are discussed there in Perek Yotzei Dofen. So Rabbi Yossi says that's what we're talking about. Ben and Bat over here is talking about Perek Yotzei Dofen, about a child coming of age. So I'm like, by the Rabbi Yosef, mi bal gitu. So Bai says, Rabbi Yosef, are you really arguing? Are you and Rab disagreeing? I'm like, no. He says, no, we're not arguing. Ana amri chada, vu amar chada. He says one thing, I'm saying another, they're both true. They're both made late, and they're both true, and we both agree to that. It's just a question of what does the Braita mean. When it says Ben and Bat, we're just arguing about the meaning of Ben and Bat there, not about the halacha. We both agree to each other's halacha. Somebody says, Ochinami misrad, sabro. That makes sense. The Isaka daf kapligi, if you really think they're arguing, Mandar mal arachim, lo amar the yotze dofen. The one who says arachim, meaning Rav, who says that the Braita's name is Rav, he doesn't say by perak yotze dofen, he doesn't hold that coming of age is determined by made late. I'm a Rav, Yochata, B'kulam Pirka, made late. Rav, on the Perek of Yotzei Dofen, says, Alocha is like this Perek, made late. Everything's made late in that Perek. So Rav makes a comment about that and says, Alocha is made late. So it's clear that he must hold the Rav Yosef's statement, Lohalocha. Just doesn't think that's the explanation of the Braita. V'lamand Amar L'Arachin, Ma'itam L'Omar L'Yotzei Dofen. Rav, who says it's speaking about Arachin, why doesn't he say that it's speaking about the Perek Yotzei Dofen? Says, Dumi Dahanach. It's similar to the other things in the Braita. Mahanach tichtiva, just like the other things written in the Braita are deoraita, they're written in the Torah. Avhanach tichtiva, so too, ben and bat, we want to talk about something that is written in the Torah. That's parshat arachin. But ben and bat, coming of age, is not written in the Torah. As Rashi says over here, v'anu shanim diotzi dofen kulu durabonon. That's all it's in durabonon. That's very interesting because they have deoraita implications. A katan and a gadol have deoraita implications. Rashi says that the ages are something that's determined by chachamim. That's all dinei chachamim. It's very interesting. It's a do-right implication, but the chachamim are the determiners of the age when it switches from being a katan to a gadol that has the right implications. B'idach, according to Rav Yosef, why doesn't he read it that way? If you think it's talking about that which is written in the Torah, it should say, zachar nekeva. The difference is that the Torah's lashon for male and phileo is zachar nekeva. The Mishnah's terminology for male and female is ben and bat. So it's clear that the Braita using ben and bat is using the Chachamim's description of Zachar Nekeva, not the Torah's description. If he wanted to make it the Torah's description, he would have written Zachar and Nekeva. The fact that he wrote ben and bat, which is Lashon Chachamim, must mean that he's referencing to something that the Chachamim did, which is Perek Yotzei Dofen. But Rashi says, Kalishna de Krah. Didi Barachin im Zachar im de Keva. That's a Lashon HaKrav. Lo Tib Ben Ubat. Ava Yotzei Dofen. So he thinks you could have written Ben Ubat there. The Yotzei Dofen Kulei Ben Ubat. Rashi thinks you could have written Ben Ubat in the Torah by Parshat Arachin. So that would mean no, not like what you're saying, that it has nothing. Zachar in the Keva doesn't mean of any age, and Ben Ubat means a specific age, a young age. Rashi says they're interchangeable. Just one is the Lashon of the Torah, and one is the Lashon HaChachamim. Although I could see what you're saying being true, that Ben Ubat speaks about a young age, Zachar in the Keva speaks of the male and female of any age. And that could be an explanation as well. But Rashi doesn't explain it that way. All right, now the last one is a very, it's very cute, very nice. It says, Mashna Nekeva, Dechi Mizkena Kaima Tilta. Why is it that by a female, when she becomes over the age of 60, her value drops to a third of her previous value? A female from the age of 20 to 60, and the Parshat Arachim pays 30 shekel. From 60 and above, or above 60 the way we're reading it, she turns out it's 10 shekel. That means her value dropped from 30 down to 10. Her value above 60 is one third of her value from 20 to 60. Umayshna zachar by male to lo kaya tilta. That doesn't even reach that point. A male between the age of 20 and 60 pays 50 shekel. A male above 60 pays 15 shekel. 15 out of 50 is less than one third of 50. That means that the male's value drops more precipitously than the female's value. He drops to be less than one-third of his value from 20 to 60. The woman is one-third of her value from 20 to 60. Why is it that the male's value drops much more significantly than the female's value? Amar Chizkia, Amre Yinshe. There's a pidgam, there's a saying people say, there is a colloquialism that people have, Sabo Bebeta, Pacha Bebeta. You have an older man, you have a grandpa in the house, he's a burden, he's a weight, he's lead weight in the house. Sabta Bebeta, you have a grandmother in the house, Sima Bebeta, you have help, you have a diamond, you have a great thing in the house. As Rashi points out, Sima Bebeita means Matmon Shiokola Lichuachla Sokol Chabziknuta. The woman's work, which she did when she was 20 to 60, she continued to do when she's above 60. Whereas the man's work, Pacha, Shekvar Sheinu Elo Lamasa. Pacha means that he's a burden now. Or, Lishna Achrina is Pachacha, Kasin Lishon Arum, Veria. He's nothing to him anymore. But the being, or the understanding being that the man's work was out in the field, heavy duty, heavy burdens. And therefore it required the physical strength of the man to do the work between 20 and 60. Above 60, that diminishes that heavy burden, the ability to do those heavy lifting and the work, and therefore his value drops significantly. A woman's work, which is involved within the house, that work, which does not involve physical strength, but rather her ability to help out and all those items which do not require the physical strength, they just require the ability to do it, she continued to do that even above 60. Being that the understanding of the differentiation between male and female in their time, you would understand why a male's value would drop precipitously after the age of 60, whereas a female's value, even though it diminishes, but does not diminish as significantly. Okay, with that, we'll end the parak.